Greetings from Olive Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Ted Traylor, and I want to give you an invitation to join us at the Heart of Things. And especially on October 13, we're having a great evening at 6 o'clock. New Song will be here, great music. Pastor Johnny Hunt will be our preacher, our guest that evening, and we'd love you to join him as well as joining us here at the Heart of Things. God bless, have a great day, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Olive. Take your Bible, go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. I've never preached a sermon like this before. This is something different than ever I've done. Now, next week, beginning October, when it's about 50 degrees, I'm going to begin a fall series that'll lead us up to the Christmas series. And I'm going to be preaching from the Old Testament prophet of Habakkuk. And so you be reading those three chapters, Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament. You can find it, but you'll have to look hard. It's not very big. But there's three marvelous chapters that are there, and we're going to be going through that book verse by verse for the next few weeks, leading us up to the Thanksgiving Christmas season. But this morning, I am looking at the illustration that Jesus used to close the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preached absolutely the greatest message ever recorded anywhere on the planet. And when he comes to conclude the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us three duets. He speaks in this text about two ways, broad way, narrow way. He then talks about two trees, the fruitful tree and the unfruitful tree. And then we come to this last illustration. He talks about two builders and two houses, one built on the rock, another one built on the sand, one that fell and one that stood. And it's that text I want to use of the third of the duets today. As Jesus closed the message, Matthew 7:24, we find these words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, all of this he's just preached, and not only hears them, but acts on them. See, friend, there's a difference in just hearing Jesus and doing what he called you to do. A lot of people in the church listen, but not everyone acts on the words. But the one that hears and acts on them may be compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You either have built your life, your house, on the rock that stands, or on the sand that sinks away. On the 17th day of this month, my father would have been 94. I preach this message in his honor today and for your good and God's glory. We walked to that cemetery and buried Dad, and then, having served in World War II, the U.S. Army, through the Veterans Administration, sent us a footstone. And they put that footstone there at, of course, the foot of where my father, Delton Hiram Traylor, is buried, 1925 then to 2019. Dad buried there in the New Bethel Cemetery on the mountain in northeast Alabama. After Dad died, mother who's in this service. We made the decision to sell the house and to move her here with us. Two people coming through this morning. Say, we're so glad your mother's here. She's in our Sunday school class. She's sweetheart and so kind. We're just glad she's here. I'm grateful for the way that you not only have received my family many years ago, but now have received my mother. But we sold that house. Liz, myself, and Rachel went up and cleaned out the house. Oh, did we find stuff. Now, some of y'all in Jesus' name need to clean up some of that mess before you die, all right? Amen? All right, second service, there'll be young people hollering, amen. We found treasures. Oh, we found treasures in the old house. Digging through drawers and finding things, we cried and laughed. And I walked out in the back and looked on that place where my father had died and stood there. Went out in his woodworking shop and got the things I wanted before we sold others. I now cut my grass on a riding lawnmower that he was sitting on when he died. Now I brought that home. It's what I use. Gave mine to my daughter and son-in-law, and they now use that other one that the church gave me, and Brother Jerry Wood drove it right down this center aisle years ago, gave it to me. About don't know how many years. And so Brad has it, Brother Jerry. If he messes up, you go get after him. Oh, I laughed and looked all around. Just so many memories. There's a big tree out there. Mother used to get a live cedar tree every year and put in for Christmas, and we'd decorate it. Then after Christmas, we'd go plant them. And one of those trees we planted right out by the road, and it now, oh, I don't know. It's way high. Cut the limb, can't hardly get under it. This big. I remember when we planted that little tree. Life moves on. After we cleaned out the house, there was nothing in it except walls and carpet. Liz went and got in the car. And I took one last walk through what I call this old house. Built it in 65 when I was a grade school boy. I spent my whole life in this house. A house built on the rock. The winds came and the storms blew and slammed against it. Well, I'm not just talking about the wood frame structure now. I'm talking about the lives that live there built on the rock. But I took me a walk. Liz was in the car and she left me to it. And I took me a walk through this old house. I made mental notes. I said one day I may preach a sermon about this. And I sensed in my spirit today was the day to do it. And I want you to take a journey with me this morning to five rooms in that house. I want to tell you what God taught me through this old house. They put a picture of it up there, and you can see that. I remember when Mother picked out the brick to go on that house. I remember when we built it. Lord, I remember the summer that Daddy put chicken manure all over the yard for the grass to grow. I'm just telling you, there ought to be a law against that right there. But boy, did the grass grow. I know it grew because I cut it with a walking lawnmower. The day I left for college, they bought a riding lawnmower. I knew they would. Matter of fact, they bought two. You could go out there and Mother and Dad cut together. One of them on another one more, and on the other. But I walked through that old house. First room I went to was my bedroom. It was there the foundation stone of sports and study. Oh, I look back. They built me a little desk. It's where I studied for tests. Books, they taught me to read. It was there I wrote the first sermon outline I ever wrote. Preached a sermon in that. I remember, oh, it was awful. Ed Ashley came by and gave me an outline. He said, you might want to use this. I wadded it up and threw it in the trash. I said, no man will ever teach me or show me what I need to preach. I do it on my own or I'll not do it. And so I went and preached that Sunday, and I came back this afternoon and I dug down in that can. And I got that piece of paper out, and I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll steal from anybody till the day I die. The Lord taught me to study in that room. He taught me about books. He taught me about sports. I had trophies all over that room. He taught me about competition. He taught me about reward for teamwork. He taught me, as my mother said to me many a morning getting me out of that bed, let's go to work. We got a store to run. If a man does not work, he does not eat. Amen. And my mother and daddy taught me in that room about competition, about work. Now, I've never been hungry a day in my life unless I was fasting. They took great care of us, but we were a part of that. And in that bedroom where I grew up, I learned about sports, and I learned about study. I know what it is to lose and come home and cry. I know what it is to finish in first place. I like first place better than weeping. But God taught me there's some lessons about in losing that you don't learn in winning. It's that competitive edge that God gives you, that you want to do your best and be your best. And I stood in that bedroom, and I thanked God for a mother and a father. Put that in me. My daddy, many an afternoon, wearing that apron that he wore to cut meat, would take the tail of it and tuck it in up here, and he'd go out and throw that football to me. I don't know how many passes he's thrown. We had a basketball goal in the back. He'd go out there and shoot with me. Had that goal. We'd shoot out in the back of the store. My father, he taught me about sports, and he taught me about study. Read, 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 read. I left that room, and I walked into my parents' bedroom and into the bathroom, because that's where I learned about family support. I stood in that bathroom that day in an empty house. And I remember the day I came as a 17, almost 18-year-old boy. Late one night, I'd been to Rosalie Church, where I preached just a few weeks ago. I went there, and I told Liz, she was with me. We were doing a deacons and wives banquet, and I said, now I want you to take my picture on the back row. That's where God called me to preach. And I'd forgotten the church had been blown away by a tornado, and they had torn it down and built a brand new church. I said, well, this is not good. Where's my seat? So I made a picture out in the foyer, and I walked to the front. I don't believe there's 20 people in that service that night. And I walked down, and I told the preacher, I said, I believe God's called me to preach. I've been struggling. Now, I went home that night, and my daddy was brushing his teeth in the back bedroom. I walked back there, and he turned around. I said, Dad, see, my mom and daddy, this is the only kid they got. They had a grocery store. They're going to give it to me. They're going to let me run that store. And I came in. I said, Dad, I've surrendered my life to preach the gospel. He gave me the greatest words I've ever received. I've told them to you before. Well, if you know what God's called you to do, you better get about doing it. Greatest advice I've ever received. Dear friend, if you know what you ought to do, you ought to get about doing it. Let me tell you, family, you got kids, you support them. You be with them. You pray for them. For the last 3 years, you know that 5 or 6 weekends a year, I go to Tuscaloosa on a Friday and spend the night and go watch Alabama play football on Saturday. I walk every Saturday morning around that campus. The last thing I do is I go to the old Farrell Law Building. It's not the law school now, but it's the old Farrell Law School building. And I'd walk up those steps, about 15 or 20, and I'd sit on there, and my son was in law school in 2016, 17, 18, and I sat there and I prayed for Bennett. Every Saturday, I prayed for him. Every Saturday, I'd pray for him, sitting on the steps of that law building, remembering how my daddy supported me. I was going to support my son. I went there yesterday, and I sat on the top of that, and a family came by to make pictures, and they had a little girl, and that little girl looked at me, and I said, I'll move if it, and she said, no, it'll be fine. I asked that little girl to come up, and I said, sweetheart, I want to tell you something. She looked at me like I had 3 heads. I said, I've been sitting here for 3 years praying for my son to pass his law school and to pass the bar, and he did. He passed the bar just the other day, got a successful score, and God help us, we got a lawyer in our family now, but I told that little girl, I sat here and prayed for my mom and daddy. Now your mom and daddy may sit here and pray for you one day. I looked at that daddy and I said, you better pray for that little girl. You don't know what she's going to go through. You pray for you show support. Let me tell you, friend, the wind's going to come and the rain's going to come and this text says, slam. And that kid needs to know that he's got a mom and a daddy behind him that'll support him. My dad told me, if you know what to do, you better get about doing it. And when I went off to college, he footed the bill. When I went off to seminary, I'd come home, and we paid our own way through seminary, but I'd come home with 2 Coleman coolers. I got 40 pounds of chicken every semester. 1 box of chicken out of the cooler, and I'd dump it in there. We'd fill it with ice, and then I'd go over where I knew the brown meat was. Didn't sell the brown meat. You had it under there to use it, and I'd get steak. I ate steak and chicken. I was the only kid at Southwestern eating steak and chicken. I didn't have any beans or rice, but I had steak and chicken. They supported us, gave us that. I remember coming home at Christmas. We had given away everything we had because we believed God wanted us to give our savings to another friend. It was $500, all the money we had. We finished with Christmas, and Mother walked over to one of those evergreen trees. She said, oh, yeah, we forgot there's one more thing. And she reached up and got an envelope out of the branches and handed it to me. And I opened it up, and there it was, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 $100 bills. I looked at Liz, she looked at me like, you can't outgive God. And you better be obeying what God tells you to do. Let me tell you, they supported me. And you ought to support your kids. If you're going to have them, support them. Lead them. You say, well, they don't do right. Well, that may be much about you as it is about them. You need to put your arms around those kids and guide them and direct. I left that bathroom and I walked over into the front living room, 3rd room I walked in. This is a room where we didn't do much. We had Christmas there, but there was a piano there, but it was the best table in the house there. We didn't sit at it, never did eat at it, but it was the best table we had. It was the dining room. We ate in the kitchen. You had to be somebody to eat at the dining table. And the 3 of us were nobody. We only owned the place, so we didn't eat that. But in that front room, I learned about soul winning. It was in that front room that Phil and Gary came home with me. We were playing junior college basketball together, and they came to my house and wanted to talk about the things of faith. Amen. I would later do the wedding for Gary and his wife. She'd become a principal of a high school on the mountain. I shared with him. I said, God loves you. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. I sat right there in the front room of our house. Only the 2nd time I'd ever done it. And I shared the gospel. And Gary and Phil, both over 6'5", got on their knees and gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ in the front living room of that old house. I learned about soul. I want to ask you today, who's your one? Who's your one? 2 weeks from today, Dr. Johnny Hunt's going to be here. He's going to preach on Sunday night. And in Jesus' name, I want over 2,000 people in this room. On Sunday night, 6 o'clock, I want over 2,000 people being here to hear Dr. Hunt preach. One of the greatest soul winners in America, one of the greatest preachers in America going to be here. Works for the North American Mission Board now. Pastor that great Woodstock Church. He's going to be in here. And he'll teach us and equip us and fire us up to go and share the gospel. You need to be here on the 13th day of October. Who's your one? I learned about soul winning in the front living room. I stood there and I prayed and I said, oh God, help me be a soul winner. Help me share the gospel. I left the living room and I walked in the kitchen. That's where real living goes on at your house, amen. It's where you put your finger in the bowl when they're making a German chocolate cake when you're not supposed to. Leave that alone. Yes, ma'am. This is where you remember the day your daddy thought he could fix anything and the stove wouldn't work and finally had to call the electrician. He told him if you just plug it in, it'd be fine. Days you laugh, you remember. It's at that kitchen table that either in the morning or the evening, your mom would open the Bible and read from My Daily Bread. And then read from the Bible, whatever the daily Bible reading was. And then your daddy'd begin to pray. It's in that kitchen. Where the foundation's built. We take just a few minutes, open the book, put the day before the Lord. Thank God for the day you've been through. Pause as a family to pray. Amen. Salvation came to that living room, that little kitchen. Lord, I'll never forget it. Dad and I were watching television. Mother was in some other part of the house. Phone rang, and it's a rarity for my father to answer the phone. But he got up and went to get the phone. An old black phone with a cord on it about 20 feet. You remember? Those old long cords. Boy, I remember. I talked to many a girl on that phone. Remember when you had the party line? Some of you old time, remember the party line? You get 5 minutes and get a buzz, and you get one more minute, and it cuts you off. I'd take that and I'd walk in the other room with that long cord so nobody could hear. Yeah. Every now and then, Miss Pruitt, she was on the same party line. She'd break in. Would y'all hang up? I need to make a call. It really happened. I'm telling you, that it used to be like that. Some of y'all remember. Amen. Phone rang. My daddy went in, and I heard him. I heard him. I could tell there was something different. He said, yes? Really? Tonight? Well, thank you. He hung the phone up. And I can remember the only time I ever heard my daddy shout. I mean, he's yelled at me, but I'm talking about shouting for the glory of God. And he said, praise the Lord. I mean, that laugh. And I thought, this is good right here. I don't know what this is, but this is good right here. And I got up and walked rapidly into that kitchen. I said, what's happened? And he said, Daddy got saved tonight. That was my 65-year-old granddaddy, John Monroe Traylor. John Bennett's named after him. He's John Bennett Traylor. He's named after my granddaddy, John. Named after his other granddaddy, Liz's father, Bennett, and his great-granddaddy, John Traylor. He said, Daddy got saved. I said, what? He said, yeah, he was at New Bethel and somebody was preaching. He got up and walked down the aisle and got saved. I went the next Sunday night with my mom and daddy to that church. We left our own church on Sunday night where we were every Sunday night. And saw my 65-year-old granddaddy baptized. Now on the mountain, they don't say you got born again or redeemed or saved. They say you got changed. That's the word. And friend, if you'd have been around my granddaddy, he got changed. Lord, he got changed. I'll never forget today, I went down in the back pasture and there was a little deal in the fence. It was a square and there was a lid on it, and I pulled it out and I reached in there, and there was it looked like maybe 5 gallons, a glass jug of, and I pulled it out of there and I carried it up to granddaddy's house. I said, what is this? I didn't know. It was moonshine is what it was. It's homemade liquor. Boy, when I walked in the house with that, he come up out of that chair. He said, boy, what are you doing? I said, I just want to know what it is. He said, put that back where you found it. Mr. Traylor got changed. The liquor went out of the pasture. I've always thought it was a parable because he kept it in the hog pen. Amen. Fit for pigs. Oh, he got changed. He started praying at lunch when we'd go, glory to God. I learned that God can change anybody, anywhere. If God can change my granddaddy, he can change anybody in this room. He was a leading Democrat in DeKalb County. You couldn't get elected, and he didn't say so. You had to report in. He said, you can run. That's just who he was. They didn't know what a political boss was, but he was just part of that in that little county. I want to ask you a question today. I can tell you the day when my granddaddy got saved, I can tell you the day when I got saved. Can you tell me the day you got saved? Here's what I want you to do. You got that listening outlines right there in front of you on number 4. You wrote down that word salvation. I want you to take your pen right now. Everybody in this room, I want you to take a pen. You got it? Everybody's got a pen. I want you to take it. And I want you to write down the date when you got saved right there. Write it down. Boom. Write it right there. Write down. You say, preacher, I don't know the date. Well, then tell me. I can't tell you the date, but I can tell you it was in June of 63. I was 10 years old, born in 53, so I know it was June, Vacation Bible School. Write down June 63. Everybody, do it right now. On number 4, I want you to write down when you got saved. You say, preacher, I don't know. I've never been saved. Then I want you to make today your day of salvation. I want you to let God do for you what he did for my granddaddy. When I give that invitation, just a few minutes, you get up out of your seat, walk right down here to me, and I'm telling you what God did for my granddaddy, God will do for you today. He'll do it. If you call on his name, the Bible says you'll be saved. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's no doubt my granddaddy was a sinner. He was a baseball umpire. He loved the game of baseball. He loved the Atlanta Braves. Oh, it was a godsend to him when TBS started putting all that on television. He watched every game every day. I'd argue with him. I'd see somebody run to first. I'd think they're safe. I'd say, that was wrong. He said, well, just wait and see if they change it. He said, it doesn't matter, son. It don't matter what happens. It only matters what that guy says happened. You know that's right. Even in replay, it doesn't matter what happens. It's just what they say happened. God changed his life. Oh, God changed him. After he died, I remember grandmother's gone. We found no scrapbook, and I didn't know. He had all the grandkids. Anything you'd get in the paper, they'd clip it out and put it in there. I didn't know they were watching that stuff. They were. If God can save my granddaddy, he can save you. If you couldn't write down your date, you let today be the date. The last Sunday of September, the 5th Sunday of September. And you come. I left the kitchen and I made the long walk to the most important room in that old house. It was the back bedroom. It was the guest quarters It's where every preacher that ever came to Pisgah Baptist Church to preach, they stayed at our house. There was no hotel. They stayed at the trailer's house. It wasn't because we had a palatial house, because we had one kid, extra bedroom. Mother was a gracious host, and they'd stay in that back bedroom. After I was grown and gone, I stayed in that room. And it was in that room, as a teenage kid, I first knelt down. I was struggling. Malcolm Stewart from Hawaii had given me this prayer. He texted me yesterday. He saw I was preaching this sermon. Malcolm, who is just a little older than I am, came as a youth evangelist. He gave me this prayer. He said, Ted, if you're going to follow God, you got to pray this. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I give up anybody. I give up anything ordered to be in the center of your will. He said, if you'll pray that prayer, God will use you. And I knelt down and I prayed that prayer. Lord, I want to be in the center of your will. I come to surrender. That's this fifth word. This is the fifth room. Lord, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Give up anybody. Give up anything. And 5 months ago, I stood in that room. This is where all the Christmas stuff was kept, but there was nothing in that room now. This is where the guest preachers slept, but there was no bed in there. It was just an empty shell. Brother Keith, I stood there and I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept. And I wept. I said, Lord, I won't ever walk in this house again. But Lord, I'm telling you now, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll give up anybody. I'll give up anything in order to walk in the center of your will. What I'd prayed as a teenage kid, I stood there as a 65-year-old and I said, God, anywhere, anytime. I'll never forget, he pressed to my heart. He said, will you give me your granddaughters? I said, God, yes. I remember I laughed in my tears. I said, God, I'm paying for them now. I'll be glad to give them to you. He said, will you give me your son? Can I have your daughter? Can I have Olive? Can I have everything you got? I said, Lord, best I know, I give you all I am. And I didn't want to go get in the car because I was a mess. Liz was waiting patiently. Finally, I gathered myself and I got the keys and I locked it for the last time. I pulled the door shut. I walked out. My wife was waiting on me, and I slid in the car. And she didn't say a word. You have a pastor's wife that's a wise lady. You really do? She's down there teaching four-year-olds right now. We drove out the driveway and started through town. Still, she ain't said a word. We finally got to the brow of the mountain, going off at Fort Payne, headed to 59. As we started off of Sand Mountain, going down, she reached over and just squeezed my knee. She said, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. I said, I've been in that house. And I've seen the rain come, the winds blow, and the storm stand against it. And it stood. And what we're walking through now, it'll stand. It'll stand. A scores of you in here could give this message because you've done what I've done. You've closed that house. You've sold it. You live by yourself. Why, no, I've been with you. Miss Darlene, Miss Helen, we've done it, hadn't we? You've done it. Brother Pete, you talk about a tough lady, you ought to know Pete Wells' mama. Amen. Oh, man, how we loved her, Miss Holly. Scores of just like it. Many of you I don't know. Listen to me. Build your house on the rock. Because it's a given. The storm is a coming. You can count on it. It's going to slam against you. But it'll stand. It'll stand. If you've built on the rock. But if you've built on that old sinking sand, your house is going to tumble over. My Uncle Don called me yesterday, my mama's baby brother, only one she's got left. He called me. Every time he calls, he calls me son. He said, son? I said, yes, sir. He said, you going, I was reading on the Facebook. He calls it the Facebook. He said, I was reading on the Facebook that you're going to preach about the house. I said, yeah. He said, that's going to be hard. He said, you better have you a handkerchief. He said, because you're not going to make it. I said, oh, yeah. He said, no, you won't either. I said, Uncle Don, God's been good to us. My uncle, he's raising his grandkids in his house. You talk about tough. He's 80 years old. He's got these kids living in his house. Storms come. Storms come. You better make sure there's a foundation.